So let's look back at that passage of Scripture. We just looked at the basic needs of a wife, and let's look very quickly at the basic needs of a husband. I'm going to ask that we begin with prayer again. And ladies, I really want to encourage you. Open up your heart for the things that we're going to share, because I truly believe they are life-changing. And I believe it works both ways. I think if a husband gives security to his wife, man, wife's going to give respect. But I do believe this. If you just heard that message and you're going like, boy, my husband's got some work to do. Well, you know what? I'll tell you how you can make that happen. Yeah. Is by you giving him the respect that he needs. You'll be surprised on how well he'll do on 1 through 7. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for what we just heard. I do pray. We believe it's been biblical and we believe it's been practical. I pray it's fallen on good ground. I pray there'd be husbands that would really say, Lord, I want to meet the needs of my wife. I want to be the leader. I want to let her know that I need her. I want to cherish her above everything. God, I just need to practice what I've heard. But now, Lord, I pray for every wife in this room. And I pray, Lord, that they would listen with open hearts. And Lord, may the seeds of 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 germinate tonight. May it go on good ground. May the ladies not be resisted to what they're about to hear. And Lord, we will not take long time. We won't have, and we don't have much time. But Father, that what we have, I pray the seeds will take on good ground tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may be saved, but they're not living by the word. They may be lost. If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You challenge them. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing on of gold and the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, that is key to this whole passage, trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. There's that respect. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, we live in a culture today that is telling women that they have to become like men. They got to push men out of the way, and the only way, hey, ladies, you got to stop letting men trample on you, and you got to start taking over and in charge. That is from the pit of hell. And let me share this with you, girls. If you ask me tonight, and I get this asked once in a while, I'll be driving someone to the airport or we'll be at a conference and some young guy will come off to the side and say, hey, Dr. Sheller, can I ask you a question? Yeah, sure, what you got? Are the most influential people that have been in your life and in your ministry? Now, I know what they want to hear. They want to hear me rattle off some big-name preachers. They want me to rattle off, but you know what? Quick as a whip. And I've probably been asked that, oh, at least 3-4 dozen times, 40, 50 times in my life, I've been asked, who are the most influential people in my life? Quick as a whip, I tell them. Yeah, let me tell you. The two most influential people in my life, my mother and my wife, have been the two most. Think about that for just a moment. Jim Shetler, you know, I've influenced, I got this position, I have a. Who are the two most influential people in my life? Two women have influenced my life more than anything else. And I want to tell you something, ladies. The world has given you a lie that the way to influence people is to be like a man. No, the way to influence people is to be the woman that God wants you to make. Let me give you one little, because I speak to teenagers all the time, let me give you one illustration. If you said, Jim Shetler, you get to start a youth group, and you can pick 10 teenagers from America, any 10 teenagers you want from America, what 10 teenagers would you pick? I'll tell you exactly what I'd pick. I'd pick 7 godly, beautiful girls and 3 godly, sharp young men. Now, Brother Scheller, you just gave us a whole session on men need to be leaders. And now you're telling me if you had 10 teenagers, you'd pick 7 girls and 3 guys. Oh, yeah. Because girls set the standard. Because guys want to be challenged. So girls set the atmosphere. They set the climate. And I'll tell you right now, I tell these to teenagers. I tell these to the girls. Hey, if you look at your youth group and say, there's not a man in our youth group. Our youth group's a bunch of little boys. That's an indictment on you girls. Because girls, I'll tell you right now, girls influence, man. And you go like, Brother Scheller, I don't understand what you're saying. Okay, let me give you an illustration. Go back to the teens for just a minute. We have an 8th grade boy that leaves a cafeteria. There's a whole high school in there, okay, big Christian high school. And all these kids are in there. And a girl that's not the prettiest girl in the world, a little junior high girl, trips on something and drops her tray. And an 8th grade boy goes over and helps that 7th grade girl pick up her stuff. Okay, now you listen to this. On the way out of the cafeteria, the senior high cheerleader goes over to that 8th grade boy and says, hey, I noticed what you just did. That was pretty cool. And she walks away. That 8th grade boy will never be the same. What else can I do? What else can I do? Stop and think about that for just a moment. What's the greatest need of a man? Hey, help me here. What's the greatest need of a man? Respect, affirmation. That little 8th grade boy just got affirmation from a senior high girl. That boy's never the same. That boy will never be the same because of that. You tell me that women have to become like men to influence? No, no. Women just need to be women. And if you are the godly woman that you're supposed to be, the influence that you will have on your husband is unbelievable. Now, let me give you some things really quickly. Number one, verbal praise of affirmation. His identity is more connected to what he does than what a woman would be. All right, so for 25 years, I was pastor of a church. And every Sunday morning, at the end of the service, Marilee and I would walk out together down we were in Pensacola or Santa Maria. We would walk down the middle aisle together and go in the foyer and shake hands. We'd go out in the foyer and we'd always go out hand in hand. Not every Sunday, but frequently, Marilee and I would get out in the foyer, she'd squeeze my hand, and Marilee would say, Jim, God used you today. That was good. I needed that. Jim, that was a great message. Now, I could tell you this before my God. I didn't preach for my wife. But for the next 15 minutes, we'll have every senior saint and teenager and young couple come through the line and say, man, Pastor Scheller, I appreciate that message. Man, that was good. Nothing meant as much as her telling me, Jim, that's what I needed today. God used you today. Now, I did not preach for the praise of Marilee. But I will tell you, my affirmation from Marilee was more important to me than anything else in the world. That Marilee gives you praise, gives me encouragement, and gives me affirmation. Man, I need that. And ladies, I just want to tell you something. Your husband needs to know that he's doing a good job. Your husband, whatever he is, he's a mechanic, whatever he does, a lot of his identity is based upon the job that he has and what he does. You got to give your husband praise. He's got to have verbal praise. That is a need that he has. Number two, here comes the big one, trust him. Believe the Lord will work through your husband. Now, to tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to put 2 and 3 together. Number 3, submission is the highest form of praise. Now, Brother Shetler, my husband has messed up so many times financially, I can't trust him. I've caught my husband doing this or doing that or having this problem or whatever it is, I can't trust my husband. Now, I want to share this with you ladies tonight. I truly believe just what the scriptures just said. Ultimately, your trust is in who? God. Ultimately, you're trusting the Lord. But I am going to tell you something. The representative of the Lord is, the head is your husband. There's got to be a point where you just say, Lord, I believe this is probably not the best thing. I think this is going to cause problems. But Lord, I got to trust you. And I have to just believe that, Lord, I believe that you'll work on my husband. Now, this is the coolest thing in the world. I'm going to give you a very personal illustration that occurred with Marilee and I about a year ago. But this illustration is going to be so, you'll understand it. And it's very humbling and it's very transparent. But it will show you what happened. So last summer, Marilee and I had to buy a refrigerator. And I was going off to camp to speak at a camp. And I told Marilee, I said, Marilee, you go look around and find a few refrigerators. And then when I come back from camp next Saturday, we'll go out and we'll, you know, whatever you picked out, we'll go out and choose a refrigerator. Marilee said, hey, Jim, that'll be great. So Marilee, I think during that week, she went out a couple times and found a couple nice-looking refrigerators or whatever that she thought could work. And then I got back, and so Saturday we went out. Last summer, it's been about a year, we went out and looked at refrigerators. And was, by the way, is it 2 years ago? Or have we either, I can't remember, it was last summer or the summer before. It was either last summer or the summer before. I think it was last summer we bought our refrigerator. And so we went out, and we looked at them. We went to, she picked one at Lowe's. She picked one at Best Buy, and I think she picked one at Sears. So we looked at all three of them, and we got in the car, and we started driving home. Because we pray about it, take a few moments, you know, think about what we're going to do. And on the way back, I said, Marilee, I think we ought to get the one at Best Buy. And there's total silence in the other seat. So I know I've chosen the wrong one. But I can't figure out why I chose the wrong one, because I gave her the assignment to find the three best refrigerators. So I'm thinking it doesn't matter because she got to choose the three and now I picked the one out of the three, okay? So I'm thinking this is not a big deal. So I said, I think we ought to get the one at Best Buy. I think it's got the best warranty. It's got a good price. And I think that's the one we got. And just nothing. She didn't say a word. So I'm going like, whoa. So after about a minute and a half, she said, you know, you're really not home enough to really use the refrigerator. And I'm going, whoa, you picked the three. So on the way home, we go from discussion to argument, to silence. So by the time we get home, of what should have been a really cool activity, hey, let's pick one of the three, we're not talking to each other by the time we get home. Well, I got to tell you, I go out to the pool, and I'm cleaning the pool, and I'm ticked off. I'm going, Lord, what is the deal, man? Now, the one at Lowe's was the most expensive. That's the one she thought that we needed. It had a lot of bells and whistles, and she liked that. I thought the one at Best Buy had the best warranty, and I thought it was a few hundred dollars cheaper, and I thought, hey, man, a refrigerator is a refrigerator, you know? It'll do the trick. So I'm out by the pool, and I'm really upset, and the Lord starts to speak unto me. And it's like, hey, she is right. You're not home much. You ought to give her at least the refrigerator she wants. So I'm thinking, yeah, maybe I just let it go and let, you know, just do it. So I come back in the house, and I said, we got to resolve the problem, you know. So I come back in the house, and I said, Marilee, I want to talk to you about the refrigerator. And Marilee says to me, Jim, it's settled. We're getting the one at Best Buy. Now, when she said that, I went, yeah. Well, amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. I said, okay. Okay, it is. Best Buy. And from that moment, Marilee didn't say anything more. And I got to tell you, she did not say it nasty either. And I'm telling you the honest truth. She didn't go like, well, we'll just get the one at Best Buy. It wasn't like that. She said, Jim, it's fine. We'll get the one at Best Buy. I'm telling you something. She let it go. She just said, you know what? Let it be. You know that we're getting a new refrigerator? I don't know what she thought. I don't know all that. But I know it wasn't like it wasn't that way. It was, hey, because I walked away going like, yeah, we just saved $400 and she's happy and everything. It is from that moment that something occurs that every one of you women need to hear. Now she allowed the Holy Spirit to begin to work. Because for the next hour, I go back out to the pool and go, I just saved $400. This is great, man. It's going to be a great refrigerator. And the Lord said, you're going to get the one from Best Buy. Yeah. Marilee said it was fine. What refrigerator does your wife want? Lowe's. Everyone in this room, what refrigerator did we get? That's the one we got. Why did we get the one at Lowe's? Well, your wife knows how to manipulate. My wife learned how to submit and allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Ladies, I cannot tell you how important this is. Submission isn't becoming a doormat. Submission is trust in God and allowing God to be the Holy Spirit in your husband's life. You know what? What do we say sometimes about wives? Stop nagging me. Otherwise translated, stop being the Holy Spirit, ladies. Allow God to work on your husband. And you got to trust. I don't think your trust is necessarily in your husband. I think your trust is in the Lord. And you say, God, I'm going to trust you and allow the Lord to work on his heart. That will give great respect to your husband. That will give great honor to your husband. And guys, what I just taught you is exactly what 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6 says. Okay, number 4. Stay a challenge for your husband. Now, some of you are thinking, some of you ladies going, wait. We missed a few steps here. You just said we're supposed to submit to our husband.